Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Türk Telekom Q3 2014 financial and operational results call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Thursday, the 23rd of October, 2014. If you require technical support at any time, please press star and zero on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Onur Öz. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to third quarter 2014 investor call. We're happy to have you today. Before we start the call, I would kindly invite you to read our notice on our second page of our presentation. Without further ado, I will hand the call over to Türk Telekom CEO, Mr. Rami Asfar.
Hello, good afternoon, and good morning to those dialing from the U.S. and Eastern and Western coasts. Let's start with the highlights of the quarter before we get into the detailed business overview. In the third quarter of 2014, we achieved a strong operational and financial performance with solid top line and EBITDA growth. Our mobile business once again delivered strong net additions with 447,000 subscribers, of which 84% were postpaid. We grew our mobile business revenues 18% year-on-year. In our broadband business, we also delivered a double-digit growth rate, which was driven by both subscriber and ARPU uplift. Let me take you to the next slide to go over consolidated financial summary. Starting with slide four. On the revenue side, high growth areas, mobile and broadband, took the lead in top line growth this quarter. We achieved 4.4% year-on-year revenue growth, and excluding IFRIC 12 accounting adjustment, which is related to our fiber upgrade, growth is even higher with 5.4%. Our EBITDA performance matched revenues with 4.4% growth on an absolute basis. Both fixed and mobile businesses contributed to this performance. Our consolidated margin is 39%, while we have 46% margin in fixed line business versus 45% a year ago, and 19% in mobile business versus 18% a year ago. Both fixed line and mobile margins delivered improvements year-on-year. Our net income increased 35% year-on-year. However, we were affected by the U.S. dollar appreciation against the Turkish lira and booked some unrealized loss this quarter. Murat will give you more detail on this in the financial section. Move on to slide five. Let me take you through our revenue breakdown as of Q3. Our revenues from fixed voice business is getting closer to only one-fifth of total revenues, and broadband, mobile, and corporate data together make up almost 70%. At the same time, we continue our top-line growth with a strong EBITDA margin. The transformation of our business from a fixed voice dominant state to a mobile diversified structure, which is led by broadband and mobile, continues to progress smoothly. On to slide six. Our broadband business delivered a double-digit growth in the third quarter, reaching 922 million Turkish lira. Back-to-school season kickoff drove up both subscribers and ARPU. We recorded 87,000 net additions in the quarter, which brought our total broadband subscriber numbers to 7.5 million. Over 1 million of these subscribers are on fiber tariffs now. Our ARPU increased by almost 1 Turkish lira quarter-on-quarter to 41.4 Turkish lira in Q3. This demonstrates our upselling ability. Another measure of resilience of our broadband business is the percentage of contracted subscribers, which increased to 71% from 68% a year ago. On the next two slides, I'd like to show you some important figures on our broadband business. Slide seven. Türk Telekom has by far the largest fiber network in Turkey. Our extensive investments since 2012 made our home pass and customer reach unmatched. Utilizing this strength, we are moving more and more of our customers to higher speed access and providing them the real internet experience with super fast speeds and reliable connectivity. As of the third quarter of this year, 37% of our customers are using 16 megabits per second and higher speeds, up from 12% last year. The speed revolution we are going through helps our customers reach information online way faster than any other means and enriches their lives through education and entertainment. Slide 8, with speed comes appetite and capacity. Our average broadband subscribers uses 41 gigabytes data in a month. This demand helps us move more of our customers to unlimited packages. The ratio of unlimited package subscribers reached 84% of total subscribers in our base, up from 78% last year. With unlimited packages, our customers increasingly opt for higher fare usage levels, and tariffs with above 50 gigabytes fare usage reached 26% of the base, up from 15% a year ago. All these figures demonstrate that we are providing our customers with bigger and better packages in a very efficient way. Moving on to slide 9, here we have our fixed voice and access line figures. Our continuous efforts to control access line declines enabled improved subscriber figures. The first 9 months of 2014 has been the best 9-month period in terms of access line decline in the past 4 years. At the same time, our ARPU proved resilient with the help of price adjustments that we applied. Subsequent to the latest adjustment in July of this year, we recorded an increase in ARPU quarter-on-quarter and reached 21.3 Turkish lira. As a result, our fixed voice revenue decline was 10% in the third quarter year-on-year, which is a welcome improvement over last year's 12% rate. Moving on to our mobile business on slide 10, as mentioned in the highlights, we had a very strong revenue growth in mobile with 18% year-on-year in the third quarter. Moreover, we recorded a 26% EBITDA growth year-on-year and reached 19% EBITDA margin. This is an improvement over last year's margin, and its significance comes from the fact that we achieved this in a period with very strong net additions. Slide 11. Our strong top-line performance is backed by both continued net additions and growing ARPU. We reached 447,000 net additions, growing our subscriber base by 15% year-on-year and reaching 16.2 million. This brings us to 1.7 million total net adds in 2014. The majority of our net additions in the third quarter came from postpaid customers, and we increased our postpaid ratio to our base to 47%. As the third operator, we have the highest postpaid ratio in the market. Our blended ARPU grew to 22.9 Turkish lira in the third quarter, up from 22.5 Turkish lira a year ago. On slide 11, our sustained subscriber performance clearly shows that Avaya is the most preferred operator in the market. Looking at mobile number portability results in the first half, we see that over 1 million subscribers on a net basis chose Avaya over the other two operators. Of our 447,000 net additions in the third quarter, around half of them came through mobile number portability. Another promising result we reached is in churn rates. We historically have been in the double-digit area when it comes to quarterly churn, but we have improved this in single-digit levels in the past couple of quarters. With the investments we made in our coverage, capacity, brand recognition, customer service, and distribution network, we not only achieved high net additions, but we also improved our capacity to keep our customers with us. Finally, on page 13, a few words on our mobile data performance. Mobile data continues to be a strong driver in our service revenues. In the third quarter, we grew our mobile data revenues by 81%. With this increase, share of the mobile data in our service revenues reached 25%. We improved our smartphone penetration to 48% this quarter. We have already been leading the market in this area by a very large margin. I will now hand over the call to Murat for a review of our company financials.
Thank you, Rami. Good afternoon. Good morning, everyone. Our third quarter revenues exceeded 3.5 billion, growing 4% versus previous year and 6% previous quarter. Our EBITDA margin was slightly south of 39% and EBITDA reaching 1,362,000,000, growing 4% year over year, despite a 23 million one-off penalty charge. We maintained our operating profit in line with prior year at 869 million Turkish lira. The financial expenses of the quarter was minus 453 million Turkish lira. FX gains in the second quarter were reversed to net FX loss due to appreciation of the dollars to 2.28 Turkish lira, i.e. 7% devaluation versus year-end. Our quarterly net income resulted as 319 million Turkish lira, and year-to-date net income exceeded 1.5 billion, 44% over last year. Moving to page 15, this is the balance sheet, and our net debt reduced to 6.8 billion end of September, reducing 500 million range versus year-end 2013 with unrealized FX losses. We sustained our strong cash position following bond in the second quarter thanks to robust cash flows of the third quarter, which on page 16 we report the cash flow from operating activities had increased to 1.4 billion, and while the investments were 440 million in net of investing activities. Therefore, we had generated 280 million in cash following the 655 million debt repayments in the quarter. The debt profile of our company had been still in a very long maturity, the 3.9 years, and the currency breakdown is skewed more to the dollars of 72% following the bond of $1 billion. We had recently converted $500 million of this exposure to euros with cross-currency swaps, thus enjoying lower interest rates of euro. The net debt to EBITDA had decreased to 1.3, and our current ratio had improved to 1.4 end of third quarter. Now I pass to Rami for his closing remarks.
Thank you, Murat. We would like to add a final comment before the Q&A. Our company decided to revise 2014 revenue growth guidance range as 3.5% to 4.5% due to an unexpected drop in the full year due to an expected drop in the full year IFRIC 12 accounting adjustment related revenue. IFRIC 12 accounting adjustment is a non-operational revenue line booked in conjunction with upgrades to our fixed line infrastructure, such as the upgrade from copper to fiber-based network. Revenue excluding IFRIC 12 adjustment is still expected to grow at 4 to 5% range. Our EBITDA and CapEx guidance are not affected by this revision. Starting from 2015, our company decided to exclude IFRIC 12 accounting adjustment-related revenues from revenue guidance given to the investment community and to exclude this non-operational revenue line going forward. This concludes our presentation, and now we will hand over for the Q&A session.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. Once again, a star 1 to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Bayina Bashteva from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Hi. Three questions. So on guidance. So if I understand correctly, so the revenue growth for this year is now 3.5% to 4.5%, right? So if I take a midpoint of the guidance, which is 4%, and extrapolate the revenue for the fourth quarter, as well as EBITDA based on your guidance as well, that would lead to me to 11% year-over-year growth in the fourth quarter in revenue and about 13% growth in EBITDA. Both look to me quite optimistic. Would you please provide some color on this? And on CapEx as well, it looks like you have underspent quite a lot in the first three quarters. So it would mean that if you're going to maintain your full year of CapEx guidance of 2.1, it means like about half of it will be spent in the fourth quarter.
Second one, CapEx.
Yeah. Shall we start with the CapEx? I'll start with the CapEx and I'll pass on to Murat, our CFO, for the first question. As you know, CapEx is quite cyclical for us, and it's no change from the past years as well. So we are very confident that our CapEx is on track to be met, and our CapEx guidance will remain intact. We're in fact reviewing this regularly, and we are confident that this number will be quite on the ball.
And coming to the revenue guidance, for the fourth quarter, we are expecting a strong growth as a bigger share of our revenues is arising now from mobile, which is a very high growth area, and as well the broadband. While voice, fixed voice, which is a declining part, which is representing almost one-fifth of our revenues now. So therefore, we are pretty much confident with the guidance that we are providing.
Okay, thank you. And if I may, just one more question. So this morning, there have been some news that Avia has secured $400 million of new loan. I just wanted to ask if you just can provide a little bit more color on what would be the ultimate use of the money. Either it would be sitting at Avia or at Turk Telecom level. Just curious where the money will eventually go. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. It will be upstream to the shareholder level, so to Türk Telekom, and that will be used as the next quarter's hard currency cash outflows.
I'm sorry, what kind of outflows?
It will be used to pay, prepay or repay the existing debt stock of the company, and there's an existing shareholder loan at Türk Telekom, and so this loan will be principally used to repay the shareholder loan back to Türk Telekom.
Back to Turk Telecom, but what the Turk Telecom will be doing with this money later?
We keep it as cash and we keep it in the first quarter of next year for debt service or capex payment.
Okay, but I mean, is there any concern that the money could go into dividends, or it's not something that you can comment at the moment?
It's for the purpose of debt and capex payments in hard currency.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Ranjan Sharma from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. Two questions, if I may. Firstly, on your FX exposure on the liability side, I mean, with all the talk of termination of QE and potential increase in interest rates, the lira might be volatile over the next 1 year period. Do you have any consideration of hedging your FX exposure over the next 1 year or so? And the second question is on your integration program. If you can share any quantifiable objectives like revenue and cost synergies. Thank you.
Thank you for your question. We are currently seeking a balance of the different hard currencies in our balance sheet. However, given the high interest rates in the Turkish lira, the hedging is extremely expensive. So given the cost of hedging, we are currently maintaining our position to keep the existing currency exposure, but with a mix of different mix of currencies in euros and in dollars.
The second question on integration. First, let me just give you an idea why we're doing the integration. Really, we started this initiative to move from a product-centric to a customer-centric approach and to utilize our group-wide synergy and efficiency where applicable and to effectively offer a one-stop shop that truly fulfills all our customers' needs and requirements. Now, back in late April, early May, we had our first phase of integration in the support functions focus, with HR, procurement, technology, operations, IT, et cetera. And in mid-September, we also did our phase two of integration, where we had some changes in the customer-related departments, consumer sales, corporate sales, consumer customer care, and customer care and marketing. And in the upcoming period, we will continue to build on those two phases. Now, to answer your question related to quantifying the impact of the integration, as we mentioned in earlier call, we had a clearly slight impact in 2014, and we expect the impact to continue to grow in 2015 and beyond. On the cost side, we have seen great potential for the group because now we are using the best practices and combining them with the scale of the group. We've had, on the procurement side in particular, we've seen a significant improvement in our cost structure, and we had multiple projects that were done as a group, and we have realized very significant savings that exceed 20 and 30% in some cases. So we do see that these benefits will continue to be reaped in the future, and surely the impact started, but it will be much more significant in 2015 and beyond. We also see impact in the top line. We expect this impact to grow. I prefer not to give any guidance, but I can tell you that the ability for us to sell for the entire spectrum of our product line is helping. Cannibalization between our product lines also is reduced. And the cross-sell and the ability to sell more than one product and be able to have a higher reach is improving, so we expect that the potential will be higher. We will touch on that hopefully in the next call.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Atink Oskar from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thank you. This is Atink from Credit Suisse. Two questions, please. The first, both of them are related to your wireline broadband operations. Looking into the third quarter, 6% ARPU uplift, can you elaborate what was the real driver behind this, as this item was rather stagnant over the past two quarters? Is it rather price-driven, or is it due to upselling, maybe due to TV uptake? And my second question is regarding Fatih Online Education Project. I don't think that you had commented regarding this recently. If you could provide an update where we are and whether we are still considering to provide services in this project, I would really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. I will pass to Matt Bashir, our CMO on TTNet, and I'll answer the second question when he has.
Thank you for the question. Yes, we had a very strong quarter in terms of subscribers and revenue, and also on the ARPU side with the fixed broadband business. The major reason is, of course, the seasonality effect is important here. The September time frame, which is the back-to-school time frame, is an important season for us, which we delivered a good result there, especially focusing on the needs of the customers with back-to-school campaign. Using and utilizing our power on the value-added services, which is Vitamin, the top selling and top used online education services in Turkey. And also on the ARPU side, we managed to increase our ARPU with the help of upsells, thanks to our investments in terms of infrastructure and fiber. Today we can sell higher speeds and deliver higher speeds to our customers. As you know, we have increased our entry-level speeds to 16 megabit per second. And the ARPU with the speed upsells, as well as quota and fair usage upsells, helped us increase our ARPU. I should also claim that the price rationalization was also important. We have been acting as a leader and will act as a leader in the last quarter of this year, and most probably for the upcoming quarters as well. That also created a positive impact on our ARPU.
Thank you, Matt. On the Fatih project, the process to install the intranet in the schools continues. The total number of schools whose intranet are going to be is expected to be around 42,000 schools. The first phase was tendered, and we won about 2,200 schools amongst about 3,300 schools and completed the setup of these intranet networks. An additional 13,000 schools intranet network was tendered in June of last year, 2014, as a second phase, and two other companies won the tender, yet one of them had some problems and quit, and there is no official announcement on tender is being made for replacement. The remaining schools are expected to be tendered, and the access line tenders hasn't been done yet, and we are the top contender in the upcoming access line building. The project is progressing, and it's critical for the country, and we believe that we'll be on a fast track, and our main benefit will be realized when it's fully effective and it starts pushing the broadband penetration in the country upwards. Thank you.
Thank you for the detailed answers.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Kitty Pampashkova from Nomura. Please ask your question.
Thank you for the presentation. I would like to ask you a few questions on the debt side. First of all, in your third quarter results, minority put option liability was moved to the current liability part. What I would like to ask is, would you really have to pay those 523 million Turkish lira in the next 12 months, or it's just an accounting treatment of this liability? My second question is regarding your plans to maybe issue some bonds in 2014 or 2015. And my last one is about the dividends. Looking at your past performance, I can see that in 2011 and 2012, you basically paid dividends in the amounts which exceeded free cash flows for those periods. So, which was not the case in 2013. So, should we expect that you will return to the same practice of distributing more than your free cash flow, or you decided not to do it anymore? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Murat will answer the first two questions, and I'll handle the third.
Okay. Thank you, Rami. Thank you for the questions. Minority put option liability has been classified into short term due to the agreement between the parties. So the measurement is based solely on that one. We don't anticipate a cash outflow as long as the terms of this option has been realized. We don't have any intention or any visible IPO of Avaya next year. Therefore, this option is not exercisable, unless there is a one-on-one agreement between parties. We have issued a very successful bond in the first half of 2014. We are pretty much in a cash-rich position, and also we are delivering very good cash flows this year. The last quarter, this quarter, unlevered free cash flows of 960 million, and our dividend payment for this year was 912 million for the full year. So, as you noted, the unlevered free cash flow is pretty strong, and we would be a regular issuer in the bond market, but we don't have an announced or planned date for our next bond issuance yet.
Just to add, I think Murat answered three questions directly and indirectly, but just to add, for the bond market, I mean, we of course started a program, but you know, we will continue to monitor the bond market to see how we can optimize our cost of funding and make sure that the availability of funding is strong, the tenors are stable and extended, and also the replacement of more expensive debt is possible as well. On the elaborate on the last question related to the dividends, as you are right, and Murat confirmed that 2013 we had a dividend that's well below the free cash flow. We do not anticipate a dividend that will be higher than the cash flow, because we had a very strong cash flow year actually in 2014 as well.
Thank you.
And just to also complete the question, the base of our dividend distribution as per the articles in the shareholder agreement remains the net income of the company and the profit. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Mehmet Agyuz from Yapı Kredi. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the presentation. My question is about PSTN. I'm a bit puzzled about the KPIs you posted in a quarter where you did a price increase. Actually, what we see is a decline in churn and actually not as much improvement in the ARPU. Could you talk about, you know, what the driver of this and the outlook for the remainder of the year? And secondly, my question about this integration efforts. Is it technically mandatory for you to get back the shares, Avaya shares from İşbank for you to fully integrate, or is it just a procedural step? Thank you.
I'll start with the second question, and then I'll pass to the first question. On Isbank, look, integration for us is a very important project, and we remain as a group interested to acquire the stake of Isbank, of course, at the right terms. So as and when this may become available, we'll be keen to pursue it, but we are, of course, mindful of the terms of this potential acquisition. I'll just pass you for the PSTN to Matt Fasher.
Our ARPU level on PSTN is higher quarter on quarter, so that's a healthy signal on the PSTN business. And the price increase will have its effects in the upcoming quarters as well. So we should watch on that. And the healthy part of this is, as we are declining on the PSTN business and revenues, we are compensating the decline with our broadband business. So our PSTN share of the total revenue is going down, and with a very healthy margin of broadband business is taking over.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Dalibor Varuskla from Citigroup. Please ask your question.
Oh, hello. Good evening. Just a quick question on general question on convergence and the mobile business. I mean, I'm noticing your mobile business is actually performing very well in the last couple of quarters, and I'm just wondering to what extent, I mean, if you can just comment on what you think you're doing better now than you were not doing before, or whether anything has changed the external environment, and to what extent fixed mobile convergence is playing or will be playing some role in this mobile success. And if you can make any comments about your further mobile strategy in terms of pursuing market share versus profits or free cash flows, whatever, that'd be useful as well. Thank you.
Great. I'll pass you to Dehshan Ertuğrul.
Hello, Dalibor. Thank you for the opportunity. As you know, it's been like 4 years now. Avaya has been actually executing a turnaround strategy. It all started with fixing the basics, providing the good service, good customer experience to the subscribers. And finally, in the last actually 18 months or 5 or 6 quarters, we've been investing on brand as well as network, distribution channel, and customer experience. Now we see the positive effects of this combined investment on what matters for the mobile customers in the Turkish market actually. You know, we have 4 key priority segments, youth segment, white-collar segment, professionals, white-collar when I say white-collar, I say professional segments, premium subscribers that are very interested in high data usage and high ARPUs, etc. And finally, the public servants, which is a heritage for Avaya actually, and they are profitable and loyal. Low churn rate customers of Avaya. So we are concentrating on key segments, those four, key regions geographically, the big cities, Istanbul, Ankara, and Izmir, and we keep investing on network, brand, and customer experience. So these combined actually brought us the success that you have mentioned in your question. In the last 5 quarters, when we take a look back, when we began with the new symbol and the new brand positioning in Turkish market, we see that a total of 2.3 million subscribers added to the subscriber base in the last 5 quarters. So this actually brings an average quarterly net adds of 468,000. And also in rate of base growth, we see that Avaya has been leading Turkish market in terms of base growth rate for the subsequent 12 quarters. And also in service revenue growth, we see that in 2012 and in 2013, and also first half of 2014, Avaya has been leading the market in terms of service revenue growth rate. That's what I'm going to say.
Thank you, Dehshan.
Thank you. I just thought maybe if you can make some remark on convergence as well, if that's been kind of important, like combining the fixed mobile service, not necessarily on the cost side, but on the customer's side.
It's early to say. Actually, we haven't been concentrating on the convergent offerings in the market. So we are going to see what's going to happen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Vera Supeja from Erste Bank. Please ask your question.
Good evening, everybody. Just would like to clarify regarding your last comment after the presentation regarding the guidance. Can you repeat that you would not include the construction revenue in the guidance, or did I understand that correctly, incorrectly? The other question would be about the secondary public offering that we heard some comments on the press about it. Can you clarify what is the latest status on this secondary public offering? And on the third question is regarding IPTV. I was wondering why it's supposed to be growing, but why is it declining sequentially? Thank you.
Thank you. I'll handle the first two questions and pass you to Mert for the third. You are right. We are including IFRIC, revising the guidance to 3.5 to 4.5, so that including IFRIC, because IFRIC is proving to be slower than expected. However, the guidance excluding IFRIC remains at 4 to 5%. That's the guidance that we're getting. Now, on the SPO, there has been a discussion, several discussions in the past few years and also recently that there could be a consideration for the SPO, 6.6% or 6.68%. We haven't been advised or we haven't seen any discussions in this regard. But if there's any thing that will be announced by the government, we'll be more than happy to assist them in this regard.
This is Matt on TV business. We have faced a slight decline, which we can call almost flat. The seasonality did not help us in terms of summertime and people traveling. On the other hand, we kept our momentum on the web TV business and increased our customers on that. What we really care is our revenues. Year to date, with the IPTV business, we almost increased our business revenues 50%. As a group, we define TV business not an adjacent business anymore, but as a core business. So we will keep investing, and you will hear from us more on that aspect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Hervé Drouet from HSBC. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. My first question is regarding, again, the fixed line segment. I mean, I understand that now with the change of regulations, you have some room on pricing to increase pricing. When I looked at your numbers and KPIs, especially for the third quarter, we haven't seen, an uptick on the average revenue per lines on the fixed line. I would have expected that to happen. So I was wondering, is there currently some discount that are offsetting potential price increase, in PSTN, and you think that may fade away, and as time goes by, we may see a bit of uptick, on the average revenue per line, even for the PSTN? So it's my first question. Second question is on the mobile segment. I was wondering if you can tell us accessories in your shops, how much does it represent in terms of revenue out of your total mobile revenue, and how quickly it is growing?
Thank you. Deshan, do you want to start with the second?
Sure. Hello again. The accessories or any device-related business whatsoever is not actually included in our revenues. So this is only a commercial initiative for our dealer channel. So in our financial statements, we don't see anything related with the accessories. Did I get the question wrong?
Okay. And you don't book the net revenue out of this? I understand that on the gross revenue you don't book it, but I would have thought the net, the difference between, you know, the net you will book. But you are saying the net is too small to really be significant?
No, actually, even if it was too big, we don't actually recognize it as revenue because this is a commerce between our dealer channel and the vendors.
Oh.
From other countries, we are not involved whatsoever.
Okay, I see.
On the fixed side, the fixed voice business, we are once again seeing a Q-on-Q ARPU increase in our business. On the other hand, as we have increased the prices, we have launched campaigns to smoothen the effects, especially to control the churn. So we have launched a free weekend campaign. And also, when you increase the prices, the ARPUs does not immediately go up simply because you have a base of contracted customers. So the positive effects will be seen in the upcoming quarters without major effects or major additional effects on the churn.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. I understand. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from the line of Bayina Besteva from Barclays. Please ask your question.
Hi. Just two more questions for me, if I may. So on CapEx, when I ask you about this new loan at the VA, you have mentioned that you might use it for CapEx needs. So I just wanted to clarify if you have any color on how much CapEx it could be next year. Would it be probably flat to this year or it would be substantially higher? And finally, on short-term debt, it stands at $1.4 billion at the end of the third quarter. I'm just curious, how would you address that? Thank you.
Sorry, what was the second question?
On the short-term debt.
I see. Yep. I'll pass the short-term debt to Murat, but just to answer the CapEx, we will provide our guidance for CapEx for 2015 in our first call of the year, which will be in February, and that will give you the color. Unfortunately, I cannot give you more guidance at this stage.
I understand, but in general, like, you know, in the ballpark number, that probably the trend will continue, right, that you'll have to invest about 2 billion of liras per year, right? That's a fair assumption?
It's a fair assumption. We don't expect dramatic changes to the trend. That's right.
Okay, thank you.
For the short term, actually, we are sitting on a 2.1 billion cash, which will increase up to 2.9 billion following the $400 million debt drawdown by AWEA. So that will be more than sufficient to prepay the short-term portion of our long-term debt.
So you would prefer to pay down the short-term debt with cash rather than going to banks and refinance those short-term facilities?
We have potential means to for new borrowing and for capacity, definitely, and also appetite in the banking market. We also use ECAs to finance a portion of our capex. So we have some certain plans of financing, but we definitely have sufficient amount of cash also to prepay or repay the short-term portion of our debt as well.
As long as the dividends would not be massively higher, as you said, right, before?
Our dividends are a function of our year-end net income, and that will be defined after we release the year-end results.
Right. I was meaning more about the ability to repeat that. But okay, great. Thank you so much. This is a great call. Thank you.
Thank you once again. It's star 1 if you wish to ask a question. Okay, there are no further questions at this time. If you would like to continue, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much for everyone joining our call. If you guys have any follow-up questions, please get in touch with the IR team. And thanks again for joining, and this ends our call today.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all now disconnect.